Third John. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. So now this is to a specific individual, Gaius, whom, here it is again, I love in the truth. So this is not just, I just love everybody, I'm just soft all over and all inclusive, diversity, equity, and inclusion. I'm sort of drinking that Kool-Aid and everybody's equal and everything's the same and we just include everybody and love everybody. John is very discerning. And with all of this discernment, this man Gaius really got John's attention. And he loves him in the truth. And that's a very clear thread line or theme in John's writings. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. And many people see this and think, see, we're supposed to be prosperous. We're supposed to be healthy. Let's just focus on the here and now. But John puts a proviso here. I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So Abraham prospered, was a healthy man, lived a long life. I think it was 139, something like that, and lived a very long life, and was very prosperous. But he prospered spiritually, and he could handle the material prosperity because of his spiritual maturity. And so we need spiritual maturity. Some of us may not be prospering physically, and maybe that's very good because there are lessons that we learn in different seasons of our life. And maybe we're just, it wouldn't be, God is looking at the whole picture, and it just may not be appropriate for us to be prospering physically. That's okay. The main thing is that we abide in Christ and our soul prospers. And then as our soul is prospering, God knows what we need in our development. He says here, so remember he rejoiced greatly that there were brethren, children of the elect lady, some of them who were walking in the truth. And now he's writing to one of them. And he says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. This is what brought the elder great joy. There were reports of what Gaius was doing and that he was walking in the truth and obeying the Lord's commands. And this brought great joy to John. In fact, John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. This is the greatest joy for me. Why? Because this is his mission. This is his purpose. This is why Christ sent him to bear fruit that remains. So now he's hearing that in all of this controversy, Gaius is on mission. Gaius has not deviated. This brings him great joy. This is why the children of the elect lady who were walking in the truth brought him great joy. He has no greater joy as an apostle, as a teacher, than to hear that the children that he had brought into this truth and developed, they're continuing. They're walking in truth. In Proverbs 23, it says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And John is seeing himself in a human sense as the father of these children. And that he that begets a wise child shall have joy of him. This is the greatest joy that a parent can have. And so the elder is in this role of parent to the churches here. And this is saying, this is his greatest joy, to hear that they walk in truth. And why? Again, what I said earlier, and again, the sermon that I gave on Sabbath, and actually the sermon before that, Fruit That Remains. This is the very mission of these teachers. Christ said to John, you didn't choose me. You didn't choose me as your rabbi. I chose you as my disciple. And I ordained you for a special purpose. What is that purpose? That you should go. I'm sending you to bring forth fruit. And so that's what John was doing. He was bringing forth the fruit. And that your fruit should remain. So in order for that fruit to remain, John had to remain in Christ, abide in Christ, so that John could provide the teaching that would nourish the children, so that now those who love the truth, when there's this onslaught of error and false teaching, because they've been nourished Because they now understand the word of God and they're abiding in the doctrine of Christ, they hold on and they follow the command to love one another. And now John hears about Gaius and he's rejoicing, fruit that remains, that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he'll give it to you. So no doubt John was asking a lot from the Father in Christ's name because he was in this purpose of bearing fruit that remains. He says, beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do to the brethren and to strangers. So this is wonderful. So there's this community of brethren there. There are strangers who are coming in, passing through town. Gaius is just there. He's just committed. He's addicted to the saints and serving the saints. And we have brethren like this. I see the gift of service where they'll give you the shirt off their back. They just so much want to support God's people and God's work. And so here's one Gaius. Beloved, you do faithfully whatever you do to the brethren and to strangers. This is coming from a place of faith. It's coming from a spiritual operation that's taking place in you. And these people now have come with a good report to John of what is going on. And he says, they have borne witness of your agape, your love. You're following this commandment. And they're bearing witness of your agape before the church, whom, if you bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, you shall do well. So this is kind of awkward language today in today's English. But basically, when brethren are doing God's work and you support them and make sure they have provisions for their journey, so they're not having to be at risk, maybe having to incur all kinds of unnecessary cost. You're looking after them, putting a care package together, feeding them, sending them on their way with a package. John is saying, this is wonderful. This is amazing that you're bringing them forward on their journey. You're supporting them on their journey financially. After a godly sort, you're doing very well. John is saying, believe me, the Father is observing this. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth. So they understand we shall be hated of all nations. All the tribes of the earth will hate us for his name's sake. This name that's associated with the covenant. This gospel that is associated with the covenant that we preach faithfully. This is what creates the hostile. The whole world lies in wickedness. And it's against the covenant and the covenant people. And here we have these people who, for his name's sake, they're going forth to bear fruit that remains, taking nothing from the Gentiles. They would not accept support from the Gentiles because they know in a little bit we're going to get to such and such a brother's house, such and such a sister and brother's house. They're going to support us. We don't need anything from the Gentiles. Here, it kind of reminded me of Abraham when the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the people back, but you keep the goods, you keep the treasures. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, Jehovah, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I made Abram rich. So we're taking this whole operation. We're not taking anything from the Gentiles. And so he says, John says to the brethren, so I just thought of Abraham there, but John says to the brethren and to Gaius, we therefore ought to receive such. They're taking nothing from the Gentiles. They're very purposeful. They know what the mission is. They're going forth for the Lord's name's sake. We therefore ought to receive such. We should support people like this, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. The same way that one could be a partaker in the evil works of the false teachers, we can also be fellow helpers to the truth. John is very focused on the truth. And these brethren are going forward for his name's sake in the truth And John is saying, absolutely, Gaius, this is amazing. Supporting them, you will be a fellow help. You'll be a partaker of their works. And, you know, taking no help from the Gentiles, it's this spiritual operation where Paul says to the Corinthians, look at your calling, brethren, that many, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confuse the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So when we take nothing from the Gentiles, and when this whole operation is concluded, it's going to be absolutely astonishing. How did this happen? God did this through you? Oh, yes. Spiritual operation. So we're not looking for any assistance. We don't need to conform to the globalist agenda so that we can have their provisions. We'll do whatever they say because we need their help to preach the gospel. We reject that. We don't need their help. We need your help. And we need to abide in Christ so that it's Christ, the different parts of the body, working on the earth. And shame on those ministers and teachers who are going forward looking for all the support from the Gentiles. Anything they say, we'll do. We'll comply. In fact, we'll take our instructions and our marching orders from the Gentiles. And that's how we'll preach the gospel. It doesn't work. And he says this. John says, you know, he's really explaining to Gaius. And then obviously others will read the letter. But he wrote unto the church, Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. So here we have Gaius being contrasted with Diotrephes. Gaius is totally aware of who he can see clearly. And he is fully supportive of these brethren that are doing the work for the Lord's sake, for his name's sake. Diotrephes is in some kind of bizarre competition. And he's not receiving John and the other teachers that are faithful. Instead, it's a competition to him, and he needs to be the preeminent one. So he will not receive John. Christ said to John, whoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. And so there, the Diotrephes, the brethren coming through, Diotrephes had the opportunity, he didn't. Instead, Gaius received them, and the other faithful brethren received them and helped them along their journey. But this is a curse. John says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. The way of truth is being evil spoken of. So insulting us, humiliating us, denigrating our reputation with malicious words. And he won't stop there. He's not content therewith. Neither does he himself receive the brethren and forbids them that would. So Gaius wants to receive the brethren. He's forbidding the Gaiuses. Do not receive them. And the way of truth is being evil spoken of. And then he's casting them out of the church. If you're not going to obey me, then you're out. You're disfellowshipped. And he's in all this wonderful power and glory. John is saying, I'll remember what he did. He says, beloved, don't follow that which is evil. And we should be clear about this. We shouldn't be confused about that which is evil. Because if we're confused about what's evil, then it's easy for us to follow it. If we're very clear-minded and clear-sighted, then we know what is evil, and we're not going to follow it. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Again, in John's world, there's no in-between. Be very clear and follow that which is good. And again, in the recent message I gave, we should hear, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. So we should have a discerning ear. You know, Job says that the ear tastes words the way the mouth tastes meat. We can chew it and discern it. He that does good is of God. There's a kind of a good, an operation of good that's not possible unless one is attached to the vine. So we're looking for that. where Diotrephes would have no fruit. So if we're just listening to clever words, then yeah, Diotrephes has a really clever argument there. That sounds really good. But if we're looking at fruit, he's casting the brethren out of the church. He's not loving the brethren. He that does good is of God. But he that does evil has not seen God. So we can pretend, and we can show up every week in our nicest clothes and nicest cologne or perfume and grooming, and we just look the part. But if we're not loving the brethren, if we cannot bear fruit, if we're not doing good, we're not of God. And we haven't seen God. It's all pretense. Now we can contrast Diotrephes with Demetrius. Look at Diotrephes, look at Demetrius. He says here, if you do good, you're of God. If you do evil, you haven't seen God. Diotrephes hasn't, all this preaching, Diotrephes hasn't seen God, doesn't know God. Demetrius, on the other hand, has a good report of all men and of the truth itself. So he's in the truth. Yes, and we also bear record. And you know that our record is true. So John knows Demetrius and he's bearing record. Yes, this man is in the truth. And we should be able to do that, to discern who's in the truth and who isn't. I had many things, again, he says, had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. But I trust I shall see you, I shall shortly see you, and we shall speak face to face. So similar to the first letter, or second epistle to the elect lady and her children, hoping to come and see them face to face. This is to a specific individual within that community that he's hoping to come and see face to face. But there are certain things that are urgent that have to be said now. Peace be to you. Our friends salute you. Greet the friends by name. So just again, John is modeling this incredible love for the truth and for the people of God. So brethren, that ends the epistles of John. Wonderful, wonderful epistles. Just so nourishing. And what we're going to do, God willing, is when we come back, not next week, but the week after, live Q&A with Pastor Murray. And then the following week after that, we will return to the scroll of Ezekiel. And we're in the section of Ezekiel, I'll just remind you, where now it's judgment on the surrounding Gentile nations. So we've been through the judgment and the accusation and the case against Judah and the punishment of Judah. Now we're going to see the case against the surrounding Gentile nations. Goes back to Moses. Moses said, God is going to use Gentiles to punish you. But once that has its effect and you repent and return to covenant, then God is going to punish those Gentile nations. So that's what we'll be doing when we return to Ezekiel, God willing, in a couple of weeks. I'll just check the chat here, see if there's anything that I need to respond to. And we're back. That's good. All right. Very, very good, brethren. God bless all of you. And just, it's incredible, this God that we serve. Abide in him. Let him abide in you. Abide. We'll love him, love each other. And it's amazing, this understanding that God will develop within us so that we'll have this commitment to endure to the end. Jesus Christ is Lord. God bless you, brethren. I should mention, this Sabbath, I believe, Pastor Murray in the chat, if you can correct me, but I think it's Deacon Jan that will be speaking this Sabbath. God bless you, brethren.